Matthew 24. It's been a good service so far, and I kind of wish we have a lot more time. I'm enjoying myself. I like being here. I didn't even get a chance to, like, say, how y'all doing, you know? I didn't get a chance to give you a hug and a handshake. I want to give a praise and a shout-out to Barry, who got saved last Sunday night, got baptized this past Sunday, and is in church on Wednesday. Amen. His girlfriend got saved on Sunday evening, I think it was, or Sunday morning after the service. Amen. Keep praying for them, all those. We've had three or four people saved in the past 2 weeks and a couple baptized. Pray for them. Amen. Matthew chapter 24. Thank you, Brother Cliff. That was good. Amen. Glad you're here. You see how I can get into this as quick as possible. Look with me in verse 10. We're going to read from 10 to 14. Are you ready? Matthew 24, 10 to 14, it says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." I could stop right there. The story that's taking place is Jesus, just matter of fact, let's go to verse 1, just look at it with me. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple." The place was beautiful, and just get the picture, they saw the beauty, and they figured, rightly so, that Jesus must be very happy. Like, look at my church, look at the temple, look at the walls, look at this, this is all about me, this is about God. And they assumed that the beauty of the building, Jesus was going to be pretty impressed about it. And so he says to them in verse 2, "And Jesus said to them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." You got to put your trust and faith in him and not anything else, no matter what it is. Just letting you know, the Jews to this day still have their faith in the temple. Not in God. Look in verse 3. It says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And then Jesus goes on, and this is where we go back to verse 10. And he says, "And then many shall be offended." And I just want to tell you, we are in the last times. Don't you believe it? I know it. We're in the end times. We're in the last days. We don't know the day or the hour, but I do know that we are pressing forward into the time that our salvation is nearer than it's ever been, as they say. That Christ is, his clock is ticking, not our clock, his. He knows exactly when he's coming back. We don't. And we're supposed to get busy and get ready. And my job as a pastor, what God has called me to do, is make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Because I don't see many, some here in this room are ready to go, and they're prepared. Many aren't. And hear what he's doing. He's telling us, and they said, when, how's it going to happen? And one of the things he says is, then many shall be offended. And that's what I see more and more and more and more and more and more and more. As a pastor of a church, there's certain things you can't say, certain ways you can't say it. You got to watch this, watch that. Watch how you say hi. Watch how you don't say hi. Watch how you shake your hand. Watch how you don't shake your hand. Watch how you take an offering. Watch the kind of music. Watch the singing. Watch the this. Everyone's offended. It's crazy. Literally crazy. Yes. Crazy. It's insane. It literally makes me want to offend everybody. It does. It makes me want to offend everybody just because people need to toughen up. Because I'm telling you right now, it's not of God. You're being offended of anything is not of God. It's not. God did not intend you to get offended over everything that happens or anything that happens from this pulpit. I mean, serious. You think Jesus offended the Pharisees? He said, "You vipers, you bunch of snakes." You think they were offended? No, but what you got to do is you got to take it. That's all, because you're never going to get help unless you take it. But look what he said. He said, "And many false prophets shall rise and what do what? Deceive many." I'm just going to give you a few things of what we're looking at in the end times right now. People are going to be offended. They're going to betray one another, and they're going to hate one another. Betrayal is going to happen. And Bob talked about, you know, many people that have fallen away. In all reality, you can't hurt someone that's not close to you. You can't betray. Your enemy doesn't betray you. Your familiar friends betray you. Your family betrays you. And this is the truth of Jesus is giving them the truth about what's going to happen, getting them ready for it to happen. And we're in these times right now. And look what he says. He says, "This many false prophets shall rise and what? Deceive many." I believe many people are deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist that's out there now thinking, please listen to me. The people are out there now thinking that they matter more than they actually do. It has nothing to do with you, me, or anyone else. Who cares about my feelings or your feelings? You just offended me. I know. Everyone's offended about something. But what you hear, is it the truth or not? Are you able to handle truth anymore? Or are you just going to be like a little baby and go, and run and get in your little snowflake room and get a little protection because somebody's going to say something you don't agree with? Amen. It's just the truth. Look at the colleges. Oh my goodness, you can't even have a conservative. Come on. They go nuts. They burn the place down, bang their heads. It's crazy. That's the future of our country. But even worse than that, in the churches today, there's people out there saying, bring it, preacher, bring it. Woo, come on, light it on fire and burn me up. And there's other people saying, I can't believe he said that. So you're not going to please everyone. There's no way I or anyone else will ever please anyone unless you're in Joel Osteen's church. Then you'll be pleased all the time. And I'm being serious. Because what's happening is, as sin is abounding, we need more preaching to bring it down. As you're getting more lax, as you're getting more wimpified, as you are thinking that you are really more important than you actually are, makes you care about my feelings. And I don't think that's great. And I don't feel like that. And you know what happens is people start thinking their feelings actually matter when they don't. They don't. We need to get over ourselves. My feelings certainly don't matter. I'm hurt all the time. I am destroyed in my heart all the time. Sunday was the lowest attendance we ever had. I feel like knives are all through me. Seriously, I'm hurt, like crushed. You know what God says? Shut up, get over it, you little baby. Well, he didn't say it exactly that way, but that's kind of the way I need it said to me. I need the truth told me because I start thinking that it's about me. And I start to think this and think that. And next thing I know, I'm being deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. It's out there telling me that I matter. It's all about me and my feelings and what I think. And that's what's happening in the world today. People think that they're more important or their feelings are more important than God's. Let me continue. Look what he says. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The end times, many will be offended. They will betray the ones they care about. They will betray their brothers and sisters. They'll betray their mothers and fathers. And that's because they're deceived, thinking falsely. And it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. To wax cold means to breathe or to blow. Think about that. That means the spiritual energy will be blighted or it'll be chilled by a poisonous wind that's going to overtake people in the end times, in the latter days, that there's a poisonous wind blowing upon the society. It's like the devil's mouth. And he's blowing a coldness that's people are getting colder and colder. You know why they're getting colder? They're not getting colder toward themselves. They're getting colder towards the church. They're getting colder towards the pastors. They're getting colder towards their parents. They're getting colder towards everything that has authority over them because they do not want to have anyone tell them what to do. And guess what? My job is to tell you what to do. Oh, no, it's not. That's Jesus' job. He hired me. I work for him. Go take it up with him. It's just the truth. See, people don't want to have a pastor anymore. They don't want to have somebody getting in their business. Hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, you should be doing that. My goodness, you do that in this day and age, Dave. And they're like, they're crazy. Nobody tells me what to do. And that's where we're at today. Nobody tells me what to do. I hate telling someone what to do. The day you need to be told what to do, the day you need to wake up and say, oh my goodness, what am I doing wrong? You should be the one telling me what to do. You should be the one telling them what to do. You should be the one leading and let everyone else follow you because you're such a great example of what Christ wants you to be. Amen? The spiritual energy, it's being changed by a poisonous wind. And I call it the winds of change. The winds of change. The churches are changing. Churches are changing. You know why? Because the people are changing. The winds of change are definitely upon us. People are offended and they betray one another. Who do they betray? And they don't think this, but they betray the church. They betray the church. And you say, oh, that's not important. Oh, really? Then you don't know your Bible, because the church is Jesus Christ on this earth. The church is God on this earth. We are not the Catholic Church, and no one's going to lord over you. No one. No one's going to tell you you have to do this, 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 or this, but they will tell you the truth of what the Bible says you're supposed to do this. The Lord Jesus Christ, his word, his will, and his way, people are always in opposition against. Persecuting times, listen to this, persecuting times are discovering times. They truly are. Wolves in sheep clothing will throw off their disguises, and they'll reveal who they really are when persecuting times come. When people start to, when persecution comes upon them, what did the Bible say? For the word's sake. What's that mean? The word is the authority. The authority of God. For the authority of God's going to tell you no. And you're going to, nobody tells me no. No, don't take that job. No, don't marry that girl or that guy. No, don't move there. No, don't give this. No, don't go there. No, I mean, I'll tell you right now, as iniquity is abounding, as the Bible says, we need to say no to ourselves more and more and more. In the old days, you didn't have as many things you had to say no to. So it was so foolish back in the 70s, they said no to penny loafers. I heard preachers, they're of the devil. I heard preachers talk about glasses the way you wore. They're of the devil. You know, the Beatles, when the Beatles came, I want to hold your, there was Satan incarnate. Look at it now. And everybody's mouths are shut because there's so much sin is abounded. Look what it says. It says in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That is what I want you to leave with this thought, is that the love of many shall wax cold. And what happens is persecuting times or discovering times to see what you're really made of, to see who you really are, because that's what God's always doing, is trying to test you, try to let you know. He knows. He wants you to know what kind of person you really are. He wants you to see your limit. He wants to try you and test you to show you where you're going to break, where you're going to fail. He doesn't want a bunch of people to betray him. See, he already did that. Remember in the garden? Remember he had 12 of his best friends and one betrayed him? And we still talk about him today because it was a stab in his back. It was a stab in his back. It was his best friend. He loved him and he stabbed him in his back. And we know he's called Judas. Amen. So therefore, don't think lightly of betraying Christ, your God. Because when you start to go out and say, this is what I want, this is what I think I should do, this is what I feel I can do, you're setting yourself up to betray God, because it's what God wants you to do. It's what God sends you, God to do. You're bought, brother, sister. You're bought with a price. You don't belong to you. You belong to him. Stop thinking it's about you, because it's not. Crucify yourself on that cross and do what God wants you to do. And stop being offended. You know what? Jesus isn't offended. Jesus isn't offended anymore. Remember when they spit on him and stabbed him in the back? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But I'll tell you right now, we can't use that excuse. We know what we're doing. We have prophecy being fulfilled in our eyes and in our ears. The enemy, man. Betrayal is never of one's enemies. It's always of one's friends or one's family. They have to, you know, and having, being offended, what happens is once you're offended, the love starts to go away in your heart for whoever it is that offended you. You see how quickly someone will turn. Once they're your friends, they love you. Matter of fact, and I don't want to get too personal, but because I'm not thinking of anybody, but I know many times people Wednesday night, I want to praise the Lord for this church. I want to praise the Lord for you, Pastor. I know God brought me here. I know that. And next thing you know, something will happen and they're out of church. It's like, okay, what happened? We love you. My feelings has never changed. No one else. You got offended, and the devil blew the wind of change, and all of a sudden now you don't like the person that offended you. All of a sudden now you have a hatred, and it bitters up, and you see it, and they start spewing, they start talking bad about you. One minute they're your best friend, next minute they're stabbing you in the back. It's crazy, isn't it, Mike? Yeah, that's not of God. Let me just tell you that. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Look in verse 21 with me. It is the family that betrays, and inside the church, we're all definitely family. So if you ever want to get in ministry, I'm going to tell you right now, you better start toughing up. Yeah. If you want to get in any ministry at all, you better toughen up. Right now, you'll never be in ministry unless you toughen up. Everywhere and every person that's ever done anything for Christ, people threw rocks at them. They called them names. They said things. I mean, you go and try to do something for God, and you see how many people are going, yeah, I'm for you. Let's go. Well, at least my best friends will come. Really? You won't have any more. Well, my family will come. No, they won't. I'm being dead serious. You think I'm kidding? You want to be involved in ministry, and anyone's involved in ministry can say amen right here because they know what I'm saying is true. You better toughen up because the road ahead is bumpy. The road ahead is long. The road ahead is usually uphill all the way. Every once in a while, you get on a hill and you roll down like, whee, but that stop, and you go, oh, there's the hill again. But in Matthew chapter 10, if you look with me, please, look in verse 21. It says this, it says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I love verses like that that just knock everyone's doctrine off. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, that's in time of this. That's not now. That's not this. Fine, you can do anything you want with it. But if you don't endure to the end, it just shows you who you are. If you can't endure now, when things are good, you really think you're going to make it in the end? Listen, I'm a pre-tribber all the way. I know I'm getting out of here before the tribulation. I know for a fact. I know for a fact, not because me, because I'm God's bride. He's not letting me go through it because I am good looking, not to you, but to him, all right? To him, I'm... Oh, yeah, that's right. He loves me. But because I'm part of his church, I'm part of his body. He's not going to let his bride go through it. But even if he did, I'm standing on a solid rock. I'm fighting for him. I'm taking the bullet for him. I'm doing whatever it is he needs me to do. Amen. Whatever it is. Cut your head, have your head cut off. Whatever. Then I'm just closer to see him. Where's that kind of faith anymore? Now it's just, what have you done for me lately? You offended me last week, so I'm done with you. You offended me. You said something. You made me feel bad. God forbid someone make you feel bad. You got a long road ahead of you, brother and sister. It says, turn with me if you would in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And it's the family that hurts you the most. It truly is. You know why? Because people that you don't love can't really hurt you. People that you love hurt you, right? But you know what hurts even more? People you depend on. People you trust in. People that you put your faith in. Listen to me. People that you put your faith in. Do you ever put your faith in somebody? Ever? How'd that turn out? Yeah, well, you'll live and learn, won't you? Stop putting your faith in people. Start putting your faith in just Jesus. Because he never changes. He never fails. He's never failed me, ever. Everyone I put my faith in, see, Christ says, you're putting your faith somewhere it doesn't belong. But everyone wants to believe in someone. I want to believe in you. I want to believe in you. I want to believe in you. I want to believe in everyone in this room. I want to believe that God's working in your heart right now in such a way that you're going to change everything the way you think of God and you're going to start serving him. So I am serving. I'm coming to church. No, that's just being a little bit faithful. Coming to church is your, what does the Bible honestly say? It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is just your reasonable service. Going to church is not being extra faithful. It's being your normal. You know, reading your Bible every day is not extra faithful. Praying, I pray every day and I pray for you. Thank you. That's not extra faithful. That's just normal. It's just normal. Every real Christian does it. Well, I give money in a plate. You're supposed to. You're commanded by God. Amen. Yeah, but I went soul winning once or twice. Good for you. That's just normal. When are we going to go above and beyond for Christ? And I'm not even asking you to. I want you to do it in your heart and not allow anything to throw you off what God put you on. God put you on tracks. You know that, don't you? Them tracks don't turn. They're straight and narrow. Where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do, where he brought you, where he's bringing you, what he's got a plan for you. He doesn't bring you in and then you say, well, I'm going to leave. Really? That's God? No, it's not. God brought you here for a job. He's got a job for you to do. You never leave until your job is done. You can't. You cannot. Be in God's will and think you're in God's will by jumping off the tracks. You can't. God will take you to the station that he wants you to be at. You won't have to jump. God will just deliver you. You'll know. But you can't just jump. It can't be you saying, this is the way I feel, or this is what I want. Revelation chapter 2. Are you there? Revelation chapter 2. Look in verse 2 with me. It says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. I love that. How you can't bear them which are evil. Oh, man, I know so many people, man. You kidding me? Them sodomites and those LBGTs, whatever they are, and these people and the liberals and the Democrats, man, I hate those people. Ah. But when it comes to looking at themselves and seeing what they do, they're blinded. And he says, I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake and has labored and has not fainted. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, colder, cooling off. I knew people that were warm. I knew people that were warm and warm-hearted towards the church and things of the church, warm-hearted to each other and the brethren. Warm-hearted to the Bible and warm-hearted to God's purpose, God's will, God's plan. Warm-hearted. I knew people that were hot. I knew people were on fire. People were on fire for winning souls. And people were on fire for teaching a ministry. People were on fire for going out soul winning. People were on fire for showing up at church. Can I preach? Can I teach? Can I sing? Can I? On fire for the Lord, man. But the winds have changed. Poisonous wind has gone out and people are getting colder and colder and colder. And instead of seeing Christ, they see the faults in everybody. Instead of seeing what God has planned for them, they see greener pastures. They see better places. I'm here to tell you right now, that's the coldness of your heart because of the end times that we're in. It infects this when iniquity abounds in the world. It also infects the minds and the hearts of the people in it. It affects us. It offends us. For you know what? People that get offended, you know what happens to them? They get hurt. Offended, they get hurt. That means you get hurt. Like, ow, something offended me. Something hurt me. Well, and usually it's the pastor. If it's a right church. If it's a right church, you're going to get offended. You're going to get your toes stepped on. If it's the right church. The guy, of course, the pastor could be wrong and saying wicked, horrible things, and then he's wrong. But I mean, just to say that you ought to be faithful to the house of God, nobody should get offended at that. But yet people do. Just to say you should tithe your income and help giving missionaries, people shouldn't get offended at that. But yet they do. Just to say, you know, I really wish you would come and I need help cleaning the church, something to clean. People shouldn't get offended at that, but yet they do. And I know it's not you, but I'm telling you, it's true. People get offended over just the slightest things. And I don't know why, but they need to know why, because what happens is once you get offended, you get hurt. Once you're hurt, you're weak. Once you're weak, the devil comes right in, because he says he, like a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. He can't devour a strong man. He can't devour a strong woman. He devours the one who's separated from the pack. He devours that one prey that was running with the pack, and he never goes near the pack. Never. He waits alongside and waits for someone to trip, someone to fall. He waits for someone to stumble in the back, waits for someone to get a bad leg, get bad heart, bad head, something wrong with them, and they're straggling back, and he sneaks on up into them, and he pounces on them. So when the preacher sees that, and the pastor, and your parents, and the people that know you and love you, and they come to you and say, I'm worried about you. I see that you're lagging behind. I see that you're drawing back. You're not running with the pack. Something's happened. Something's wrong. Instead of realizing people love you, they get offended even more. And it's almost like you don't know what to do because they're getting offended over everything. You have to lie to them and say, everything's fine. Everything's candy canes and licorice pops and Jesus loves you. And next thing you know, you'll be in Joel Osteen's church. I don't mean that in a bad way. Satan is looking for them because they're easy pickings. The Christian who was once warm and hot and on fire is now cooling, getting cold, always losing love. Have you ever lost love for the ministry? Many people have never lost love for the ministry because they've never found it yet. They've never had a real passionate love for what God loves. You see, it's not about you or me. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. And he said, I'll build my church one person at a time. He said, I'll bring in the laborers. I'll bring in this. But you know what? He doesn't make that laborer say. He doesn't make that singer sing. He doesn't make that preacher preach. He doesn't make that person love. He doesn't make that person give. He says, if you're going to be a giver, give it out of simplicity. Just give because it's the right thing to do. Forgive because it's the right thing. He tells us what to do, but he doesn't make us do it. We're not Calvinists. We have choices here. We have a heart, we have a free will and a free mind, and we can choose to say yes to the Lord or no to the Lord. And what happens is when God has you in his will, please listen because I want to finish. When God has you in his will, it's always, always with the church, always. Because always, I don't know how I can't get, always. There is no nothing else outside the church for the Christian. There is no at-home church. There is no, I'll watch Benny Hinn. There is no, I'll do it on my own. There is none. The church is the called out and assembled together body of the living Christ on this earth, living, and all of us are members together, together with bands, and he's the head, and he nourishes the body, and the body works as one. You know, you can't say, I'm going to go right, and then your left arm says, no, I'm going to go left. You're like, well, no, I'm going to go this way. You can't. You have to work in unison to get anything done in this world. And the reason sin is abounding, the reason we're in the last days, because Jesus, when they asked him, he said, it's going to be like this. The hearts of many are going to wax cold. Who are they going to wax cold to? The devil? No. The pastors, the churches, the ministries, the work of the Holy Ghost. But they'll never wax cold to themselves. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll finish. When it's more about you than it is about the church, you know you're in trouble. How many people have been saved more than 20 years? Raise your hand. Good, good. Put your hands down. Have you been in church that whole 20 years? Good. Amen. But what I'm going to say is because I'm just picking people that I know have been through it. How many people have been like, I don't know, you're in a church and your pastor kind of, I don't know, either surprises you or he got you a little bit upset? Or maybe he stepped on your toes or whatever he did. And do you ever have a church like that where a pastor did some things? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Me too. But you know what? I never got mad at him. Right. Never. I start praying for him. Mm-hmm. But I know what I did? I did exactly what he told me to do. Because he's the man of God. Amen. And that's a whole different message. He's the man of God. He has orders from God where you don't. Mm-hmm. He's the shepherd and he's got to tell the flock, go over here. And the flock says, no, the grass is greener over here. And you have to say, don't eat that. And you're going like, I want to eat it. It's good. I ate it last week. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's crabgrass. I'm just here to tell you that sometimes you're just going to have to listen and obey. And then you learn like, oh, wow. You know what? Even though what he told me was wrong, I obeyed. And God said, that was my test. I was seeing if you would obey orders that you didn't agree with. When you're in the military, Brother Dave, because you don't agree with an order, is that okay not to do it? No. We're in God's army, and God gives an order, amen? You just do it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to even say, whippee. You just do it because of who gives the orders. And then you'll see the captain say, that was a test. I'm going to see if you do it. Now I got a great job for you. Come on. Now I know I can trust you. Now I know that I can put you in leadership. Because no one can be a leader until they're a follower. That's right. If you can't follow orders, you can't lead anybody. That's right. Because you're following your own orders is what you're doing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, are you there? Look if you would in chapter 3, look in verse 2. It says, for men shall be what? Lovers of who? The pastor? The church? That's what it is. When's this, Timothy? In the end times. People used to love the church. They still be on board. Like right now, if the pastor would say, this Saturday, we're going to have a outside barbecue and we're going to sell t-shirts. The whole church would show up. It's hard to get anybody to show up doing anything. Yes, you're right. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it is. That's why I don't do it. You know, we're going to have a missions conference this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. 8 people will show up. Mm-hmm. Just the way it is. And that's why I don't have them yet. But I'm telling you what, I want to. God wants to. God wants to do more. He wants to do more with you. He wants to do more with me. But he can't if it's about you. If it's about you, you have a long, bumpy road to learn. Because it's not about you. It's never about you. It's not about you and your family. It's about Jesus Christ and his ministry. It either is or it isn't. See, that's a promise. You're thinking not, someone deceived you. It says many will be deceived thinking it's about you. It's not. We had 2 weeks ago, breaks my heart, we had five couples come in, first-time visitors, first time ever. And some had like children, so we had like 13 first-time visitors. It was great. Two people got saved that day. And every single one of those visitors never came back. It's been 2 weeks. So, the thing is I have no idea. They're just looking. They're going around and they're looking for a church that, you know, won't offend them or won't try them, make them teach them anything. They just want to go and feel good about themselves. Keep reading and we'll finish. In verse 2, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." What do they want? Covetous. They want what they want. They want what they want. Look at this. Boasters. You know what that means? You know what a boaster means? It's look what I did. I did that. I preached that. I taught that. I won that person. I did that. You see that? I did that. Whoa. You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. And look what it says. It says, it goes on, proud. What's that mean, proud? You know what it means? You can't tell me. Who do you think you are? Tell me. I already know. You're wrong. I'm right. That's what it really is. It's like a teenager. A teenager, it's going through the hormonal change. 13-year-old for girls, 14 for boys. You know how it is. They think they know everything. And they truly believe it. They believe you're dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. They believe it with all their heart. And their hearts are not for you. Matter of fact, not only are they disobedient, but they kind of hate you. They even say, kids, I hate you. Where'd that come from? Because you're their authority in their life. And they truly believe they know more than you. They know more than you. Guess who I know more than? No one. But I do know this book. Amen. And I do know what God told me to do. Amen. And I pray him all the time, God, please tell me what to do. You know, when people are saying things to you, I don't yell back. I'm like, it hurts. But let me go in my prayer closet and find out why. And then God will reveal, you did something wrong. You said something wrong. And then you fix it. You don't just say, well, tough. I'm not going to say sorry to them. Are you kidding me? Look what it says. It says, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. You know what blasphemer means? It means you, listen to me, this is how simple it is. It's God's will that I do that. Really? You sure about that? And that's the thing is you better be very careful when you say it's God's will. Because what you're doing is you're usurping his authority. You're usurping his authority and you're blaspheming his name if it's not of God's will. And most of the time when you're offended and you're angry, that is not God's will ever. You only know it's God's will when you're humble and you're pliable and you're teachable. And when you are in a great spirit, when you're like, yes, what do you want me to do? Then you can know God's will. But when it's like, no, I know it's God's will. That is blasphemy. Because look what else it says. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. Well, we know what disobedient parents is, but unthankful. And I want to finish. We're way over, but I will finish in 2 minutes. But unthankful. Have you ever been unthankful? We all are all the time. Sometimes we just don't know. And I'm not saying, and I'm not talking about being carnal and wicked. I'm just talking about sometimes we forget what God did for us. Sometimes we forget where God brought us from. Sometimes we forget what God did for us. When did he do it? While I was walking in his will. While I was doing what he wanted me to do. While I was being serving him and being faithful. God gave me all this. But now, all of a sudden now, your own will comes up and you want to do what you want to do. And that what it is you're not being thankful to the one and the only one that gives you everything. Yeah, I just want to tell you something. It's true. I have a message for probably Sunday. We'll figure it out. I got two messages. I'm not sure. Neither one are finished yet, but I'll get them done. But the one message is it's really surprising because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord chasteneth those who he loves. Sometimes God's mean to you. Not really. Not really. He's doing it because of, but sometimes God will take back what he gave you. because of whatever reason. That's a whole nother story. Let's finish with this. It says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I'm out of time. But their thoughts are what they believe in. What they think, please listen, I'm talking to all of us. If you start to think that what you think is right, you're probably wrong. I'm just telling you, you're probably wrong. If you start to think that what you feel is right, you're probably wrong. Not saying you're not, you're probably wrong. Therefore, making themselves, what happens is when somebody acts on feelings, Cindy, I just want to say it's good to see you. Happy Mother's Day. But when somebody acts on feelings, right? I feel this way. I feel this way. What you're doing is you are literally calling yourself God, and I'm going to do my will. It's not thy will be done. It's my will be done. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. How do you know that the winds have changed? Because you're in rebellion against his authority. What kind of authority are you in rebellion against? You're rebellion against his word. And I can give you 500 verses that you won't agree with, probably. His will. And you could say, I can give you at least 20 verses that you won't agree with his will and his way. See, his ways are perfect. His ways are good. His ways are kind. His ways won't hurt anybody, won't betray anybody, won't stab anyone in the back. His ways are good and merciful and loving and kind. And that's the way all of us need to be, is just be loving, kind, merciful, good, just like Jesus is. Amen. So with the heads bowed and the eyes closed, if Brother Cliff's going to start playing, would you please stand to your feet and let's spend just 2-3 minutes just in prayer and in worship to our God and just ask God, seriously, what you need to do is ask him to reveal to you anything that's going on in your heart that maybe shouldn't be there. Ask God to protect you and your family. Step out, come on to the altar if you want to and come and pray. I know it's late, we'll be done in 2 minutes. I want you to think about these things and make sure that knowing that the winds of change are coming, don't let it get you cold. Don't let it get you cooled down. Don't let your heart wax cold. God is love and he's warm. He's a fire. Let's get on fire for the things of God. Let's get over ourselves. Let's humble ourselves to the mighty hand of God. Let's give unto him our wills and our ways. Present your body to him, a living sacrifice. Give your mind to clean and wash. Give him your heart. Give him your heart.